Hello.
Oh, hi, Amanda.
Yes, hi.
Oh, hi, it's Erica Butler calling from CHMA. How are you doing?
I'm well, thanks. How are you?
Oh, pretty good. Can you hear me okay?
I can, yes. I couldn't
Okay.
at first, but I can now. Yes.
Okay, great. I won't take up too much of your time, but I just wanted to ask a few quick questions about this story about the freezers being loaned to the province.
Yes, certainly.
Sure. Okay. I want to check on the pronunciation of your name, Amanda Cockshut. Okay. I wasn't sure if it was
Cocksha,
a oot or ut, so I got it. Okay. Great. And you would be Dr. Amanda Cockshut, I'm assuming.
I am. Yes,
Yes.
I am.
And Dean of Science. Okay. Great. So I will just launch in. It's obviously pre-recorded and not live, so we're not on the radio right now or anything, so don't worry about that. So, Dr. Cockshut, when did the plan to free up these two specialty lab freezers come together?
I would say that it came together over the Christmas break. The province called us or got in touch with us regarding our offer to lend them these instruments, these units, on the 23rd of December. And so over the 23rd, and then in the week between Christmas and New Year's, we worked to figure out what we could come up with and to consolidate and then to get the instruments ready to leave.
You mentioned that someone had or Mount Allison had offered the freezers. Was it someone at Mount A that then came up with the idea that it occurred to them that maybe we could do without one or two of these and help the province with this vaccine rollout?
That's exactly what happened. One of the researchers asked me one day if I thought that this was a thing that could be could happen, and I totally agreed that I thought that, with some careful planning and working together, that we could do that. And so through the Vice President of Administration, Robert Inglis, he reached out to the province to say, if you need these units, can you we'd be interested in discussing and lending them to you.
I understand you had to do some reorganizing in your labs. How did you make it work so that you could do with two less of these? You're calling them instruments. I'm going to continue to call them freezers just as.
Sure. Yeah, so basically, when the province reached out to us on the 23rd, I reached out to faculty members that I thought might have minus 80s or have samples in minus 80s. We had a group that went in on the 23rd, actually part of our Christmas break, and consolidated a couple of freezers. So got rid of a few samples that were a little past their best before date, and we no longer needed. We'd already published the work, and the students had finished those projects. We did a bit of a sort of a summary of what we had available. We had seven minus 80 freezers, and figured we could consolidate, work together, put some things together to get our stuff into five, and that would free up two of the units for the province. So, that and people came in at various times over the break to do some work on their freezer samples and to move things from one building to another, from one freezer to another, which obviously has to be done really quickly because these things can't warm up. You have to do it in, ice boxes and whatnot. So yeah, people did a lot of work over the holidays to try and get that sorted out.
Oh, that's great. How has, research at Mount Allison, how has it fared? How much disruption has the, various research programs had, during the pandemic?
So of course everywhere was shut down on the 16th of March when we started the campus shutdown process. We were one of the first universities in the country, I think, to open up our research program. So we were back in the field in mid-May or early May, and we were back in the labs by May 25th. So I know that many of our researchers were really grateful that we had, with the work of facilities management and with the work of the administration at the university, been able to get protocols in place that would allow us to safely go back into the lab to do research. So no one lost their field season. That's something that often happens in the summer. People do field work, and honor students were able to do their bench work and their field work. So people are really grateful here that we really lost about 2 months and that was it. And people took advantage of that time to sort of get prepared and analyze data and prepare for their field season. So people here are really grateful that we've been disrupted less than almost anywhere else.
Awesome. And I guess we will not be living without those two freezers. They will come back to you once the vaccination rollout has run its course in New Brunswick.
Yeah. So it's currently only the Pfizer vaccine that needs the ultra low freezer for storage. And so once we're done administering vaccines that require ultra low storage, they will return the freezers to us. We've talked about September of 2021 as a return date, but that will depend on the vaccine rollout. If it goes faster and they're done with it, they'll return it as soon as they're done. And if it takes a little longer, we understand that. Obviously, mm-hmm. we expect them back and in working order at the end. And we have an agreement with the province about that. But it's really important that they have it when they need it for rollout.
Yeah. Now, minus 80 is extremely cold. Like, I can barely imagine how cold mm-hmm. it is. This is obviously, these freezers are not really just an everyday item that you can buy off Amazon. How hard are they to get? And, you know, are they expensive items or are they just rare?
Normally, they're not particularly difficult to get. They generally cost between, you know, let's say $10,000 and $20,000. So they're not a high-end piece. But of course, every country in the world needs them right now because of the vaccine rollout. Anybody who's using Pfizer needs to have this kind of freezer for the storage of the doses. It's the part of the delivery protocol is that they must stay frozen below -60 or -70 until they're done and injected. So everybody wants them right now. So normally it's not that big a deal to get one, but right now you can't get one for love nor money. And we use them all the time in the life sciences in particular to store samples that have things like DNA and RNA and protein in them that are going to degrade if they're kept at a higher temperature. So, you know, the normal freezer on your fridge or something is about -20 degrees Celsius, and these are -80 Celsius. So they're very cold. You'll burn yourself if you try to touch a piece of metal at that temperature. So when we open them, we have great big thick gloves on to avoid being freezer burned when you do that.
Wow. So basically the ultra low temperature freezers are like toilet paper was in March.
They really are. There are, you know, very few of them around. And, you know, because they don't look so different than a freezer, but on the inside, they're usually in separate compartments. Like there's usually 4 or 5 different separate compartments in them so that you don't have to open the whole thing because any moisture from the air that gets in there, you can imagine how it frosts up really quickly. So the amount of space in them is fairly limited. And, you know, you have to be really careful about what you store in a -80 because it can really quickly fill just like one's freezer can if you're not careful.
I feel that. Okay, Dr. Cooksett, thank you so much for telling us about this today.
Sure. Thanks a lot for calling.
I appreciate it. Okay, thank you.
Okay, great. Bye now.
Bye-bye.